watched him in all the, you know, U18s and those types of things, and just big fan of how he plays. He's tough. He's hard playing. He cuts. He goes after the ball. He competes. He's got all the intangibles of a winning basketball player.
White, big night from three, and he continues that way, lacing in a triple. Long shot, White!
Oh, Derek White has come out ablazing here from three. 4 of 4 from downtown.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Welcome to WEEI Afternoons, live from Fenway Park, our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens on a beautiful Friday afternoon in the city of Boston and at Fenway Park. Great night for a baseball game against the Blue Jays, even if the team you root for is the Red Sox. And, you know, I mentioned F-Series. I feel like F-Series would describe the Angels debacle that just went down.
Our friends at Ford and Fenway have to appreciate the wordplay, because that was an absolute F of a series.
Absolutely, and we will get to the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Dan Ball and I walked into Fenway Park watching, I think, Bus 1, they might call it in the business, dropping the Blue Jays off. The Red Sox need to get right, feel good. Brian Baio will be on the mound tonight. I didn't stop on the wall on the way in to see if there's a giveaway tonight, a towel, a vest, a bobblehead. But Brian Baio, you know, has turned a corner here lately, not necessarily in the win-loss column, but been giving you six innings.
Andy.
Right. Nope. Garrett Crochet can be first example of that. You can pitch well and lose for the Boston Red Sox. But we'll get into Brian Baio, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays a little bit later on. We'll talk a little Jordan and Linda feud. Ted Johnson, who'll join us at 3, will be very excited that we have a new chapter in the ongoing debacle that is Jordan Hudson and her relationship with Bill Belichick.
God. Thank God we do, by the way.
Seriously. When 20 and 60-year-old women spat on IG, we have absolutely reached the bottom of the Boston sports summertime barrel. Dear God.
The bottom or the top? It all depends on how you look on it. Flip that bottom upside down, and it's the top, baby. Jordan Hudson is back, and it's ugly with her and Linda right now. But whatever, we'll talk about it, we'll read it. But we're going to start things off here on WEEI Afternoons, as we always do on Fridays. Fitzy and I, we go back a long way doing this with whatever show we're on at the end of a sports week. And it's been a week, as they say, as Auntie Lindy might say, it's been a week. It's been a week in Boston sports. But we're going to kick things off with who won the week in Boston sports. And Stiz sometimes gives you a little teaser as to what we're going to talk about in this first segment with his opening audio. And Nick Fitzy Stevens, I'll let you kick us off today with the answer to the simple question, who won the week in Boston sports?
Well, honestly, Andy, this was not an easy answer. And I know a few weeks back, I believe my selection and yours may have dovetailed off of that was nobody, because it hasn't been the greatest of weeks. The Red Sox just came off the F-Series with the Angels, losers of five. That's right. Five straight. Ain't nothing going on in Pat's Nation right now. And the Bruins, well, cool. They unveiled a 90s throwback jersey that looks like jerseys they've been wearing for the last 30 years as well. And the draft is later on tonight. So we look to the Celtics. And how do you say anybody from the Boston Celtics wins the week when you deal away two of the players integral to hanging Banner 18 atop in the rafters at the TD Garden? To which I say, well, only one man would have the stones to be able to do that, actually get the Celtics out of the second apron, please the new owner, get something decent-ish in return, at least in my estimation. I know not yours necessarily, Andy and Anfernee Simons. Plus, do the best he could with the draft picks that he had. I actually very much like the Amari Williams pick. You, I know, have recently ordered your brand new Hugo Gonzalez shirt to wear on the boat later on this summer on the South Coast.
Hugo.
So, Hugo, I go wherever we go. I give it to Brad Stevens. He was tasked, Andy, with one of the most difficult jobs possible. Didn't have the highest of premium picks going in, but you know you have significant needs given that you had to deal away Porzingis, deal away Drew Holiday. Jason Tatum just went back to the gym to start working his triceps. He ain't playing basketball anytime soon. He has to field a competitive team. A nice Andy right now, as anyone is watching twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
Those pushdowns.
Is either are you churning butter or are you working your tries? Possibly could be both.
Tries or having sex.
It's an old skit by Adam Sandler. We get it.
Yeah, Any which way, Brad Stevens, tough week, but he did the best damn job that he could. He's not done yet. In Brad we trust. I think we universally agree, according to Andy's poll this week, 86% of green teamers believe Brad is the man for the job and is doing the best he can. So, Brad Stevens, by default, sir, we appreciate you, and you are the winner of the week.
Yeah, he, you know, I saw this in the rundown where you were going with this, and my first cynical, skeptical, little fat Andy, age-old New Englander negative approach to things was like, wait a minute, the guy traded two starters from a title team and I'm supposed to say he won the week? Mm-hmm. But you referenced his approval rating, 86% with sports fans right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Mayor Wu would kill for that. Governor Healy would kill for that. Like,
anybody,
even Mike Vrabel, I think, would kill for that. I don't think Mike Vrabel's is quite that high, and he is a pretty popular guy in Patriot Nation right now. So you start with the Brad We Trust approval rating, and then you referenced his boss, who clearly was at the forefront of probably being like, hey, I just spent $6+ billion. I'm not looking to pony up another $200+ million in second apron payments to the National Basketball Association with my best player doing tricep pushdowns at the frickin' local Y, trying to build the horseshoe on the back of his arm before he can actually fix his Achilles. And Brad Stevens traded a guy that I think we all agreed late last year was an aging, slowing, good defender, good complementary piece, point guard, shooting guard, whatever you want to call him. He traded that, and then he traded a unicorn who, love him, mean it, barely ever plays, and mm-hmm. boom, just like that, was able to appease his boss. And I was thinking about this. Is there any chance he gets a bonus? Like, in the world of finance, if I save my boss $200+ million, aren't you expecting a little something, something for the effort? A little,
maybe you're the guy who convinced somebody to buy into a stock, significant land investment.
Yeah.
Knew something bad was going to happen. Help the company get out of an investment before it hit the skids. I would think so. I mean, listen, he probably also very well could get what Joe Mazzulla is looking for, which would be a heavily compensated extension. Andy, we're still trying to figure out what is the worst move Brad Stevens has made to date as president of basketball operations. Has there even been a bad move? What was the one guy, Mike Muscala, I think the Midday Show was referencing earlier this week. That's the only one you can really question to date. I'm not saying that he's batting 1,000, but that 86% approval rate is right in line. That's part and parcel with his hit rate as well as president of basketball operations.
So Brad Stevens, you've sold me on. He had a good week, and he's had a good run here, and he is still riding high on his white horse, and he's the hero of Celtic Nation, even if they're not going
to
be as good. Yep.
We needed him to have a good week big time, Andy.
I think another guy related to the Boston Celtics had a great week, a great week. His Q rating, maybe not quite as high as Brad Stevens, and I don't know if people perceive this the same way that I do, but there was all this chatter about trades of two Celtics players, rumors and Shams. Every time I saw Shams on SportsCenter or McAfee or any one of these places, like, Celtics are listening to trade offers on Jaylen Brown and Derek White, but they're going to have their socks or something else blown off if they're going to unload those guys. And I said it to you yesterday, Derek White somehow became this equivalent to Jaylen Brown. Like, these two guys are at the top of the Celtics pyramid right now of assets, and the Celtics are listening, but you're going to have to blow their doors off. There's a report of late that they were offered the number 9 overall pick for Derek White, and they simply laughed and scoffed it off the way Fitzy
did. Get out of here with that.
And Derek White's a good player. He's a real good player. I'm not sure I'll go really, really good, like a lot of people like to do, or very, very. I'm not doubling up on the adjectives. He's good. Or adverb, I guess that would be. I'm not doubling up on them. But this week, he became, in the overall landscape of the NBA, the talk of the trade deadline with Jaylen Brown, who, Jaylen Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, is a MVP of the Eastern Conference playoffs and finals, is an MVP mm-hmm. of the NBA finals, is an all-NBA player, is a max contract player, was the highest paid player in the history of the National Basketball Association by, you know, thanks to the timing and all him reaching his contract.
A couple
and
of
all
days.
That.
He still held the belt by default.
Absolutely. Won it on a pay-per-view, turned it over a couple nights later on the weekly show on cable, but, you know, he was still the champion. It said he was the champion. Whereas Derek White, good player, and I know he was on Team USA, and he's a champion as well, somehow got lumped in like, It was almost like we had Tatum and Brown for years. Oh, we got really got two superstars in Boston. Oh, Tatum's out of it? Well, we need to call somebody else a superstar. Derek White. And the beauty of it for him is he didn't get traded. He has no pressure. Everybody, including my big co-host who will join us at 3, Ted Johnson, puts all the pressure on Jaylen Brown this year. Derek White is back. Derek White is going to get increased opportunities. Derek White was considered an elite player in trade talks this week by the Celtics and by other teams, if you listen. And then Derek White can just go out there and, I don't know, score 18 points, hit some threes, make some nice passes, and go about his business as the new Robin for the Boston Celtics. And I think that is a great lot in life for Derek White. His Q rating went up, his spot stayed the same, and he has no pressure because he now plays in the immense pressure-filled shadow of Jaylen Brown. So I think Derek White is living the good life right now, also making a lot of money himself. I think he's got like a four-year, 120-something million-dollar deal.
That would be correct.
You know, he's making pretty good money too.
Can't get you nothing more than a three-bedroom in the Seaport, but yeah, he's getting paid some pretty nice money. Look, Derek White is being valued for certainly what he's done for the team. At times, I've told you, I think the brilliance, the need of Derek White is that whenever you say to him, tonight I'm going to need you to do blank, be a three-point shooter, carry the team in scoring, lock somebody down on defense. Jrue Holiday, we saw in the playoffs just this past season, was having a hard time locking players down on defense the way he used to. Derek White still can. And so for what he's done, but also what he's going to mean to the team and what he's going to need to do this year, which is obviously up his scoring, which is obviously up the defense, yep, which is be a more pivotal piece of the team with Jason Tatum out, to me, that's what made him that much more untouchable. If you traded Derek White for, I don't care, the ninth overall, two future firsts, and someone on the Anthony Simons level, or perhaps even not that valuable, or in your case, not that invaluable, I think it would have been a bad deal because you would have lost the leadership, you would have lost the on-court presence, you would have lost somebody who has championship pedigree. Andy, he's been to the conference finals a couple of times. The guy's an NBA champion. The second you start dealing all those things away, this team becomes potentially emotionally rudderless. And so I think Derek White is a massive winner this week as well. I think it's a great call because bigger role this season. He knows how much he's valued by the team. Yeah, and he's getting paid pretty good too.
And I find it hard to believe that there's going to be a lot of criticism thrown Derek White's way this season because he is going to face expectations. As you mentioned, the Derek White games can't come every third game anymore, you know, twice in six games kind of thing. The Derek White game now has to be every night. He is expected to be one of the top two players on this team. If you paid attention, not only did Brad Stevens say verbally, you know, we got a pretty good core with Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Derek White, and Peyton Pritchard, but the Celtics then retweeted just that clip in their own little post. So he is now a made man in Boston. He is now, I don't want to say people are going to say big three with him working with Brown and Tatum when Tatum comes back, but he's got a pretty high stature. And with that stature comes expectation, but still, he won't be criticized, in my opinion, A, because everybody seems to love him. The look, yep, the beers, the whole thing. Everybody loves Derek White.
He's kind of a little bit of a local iconic hero, and earlier this week, as we were criticizing the Oklahoma City Thunder for their lack of celebration or excitement regarding their NBA championship last Sunday night against the Tyrese Halliburton-less Indiana Pacers. Oh, cry more. Whatever. Derek White last year just endeared himself to Boston forever, Mike Napoli style, when he was caught wandering around the Seaport off the duck boat, just absolutely. And I'm not, no children listening, no parents of young children listening. I am not advocating for such behavior in public. That said, it was pretty hilarious that Derek White was completely legless walking around Boston last June. The dude's an icon. He's a hero to many that are Celtics fans or Boston sports fans. But Andy, your point that he won't receive criticism, but he's going to have to step it up next year. This NBA champion, two-time all-defensive NBA team player, is going to have to do more than 16.5 points a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 38% from 3. He's going to have to average probably close to 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And because of his on-court flexibility, that he's so malleable that he can play a number of different spots, he's going to have to score from all over the court depending on what kind of offense Mazzulla and Stevens cook up.
Yep, and if all things go wrong, people will criticize my guy, Jaylen Brown, and it'll be a while, I think, before the storm hits Derek White. We also have to remember Derek White had a bad month last year. He can't have a bad month this year, right? Like, that is not an option when you have bumped up the pay scale a couple, because, you know, we're going to talk about Tatum being gone, but we also need to talk about Drew Holiday and Porzingis being gone in conjunction to Derek White. He gets bumped up essentially three spots on the depth chart and needs to be ready for the expectations that come with that. But the good news is he's still a Celtic. I don't think he wants to be a Raptor, because the Raptors fired their general manager after the draft, which is basically a poop show situation that you don't want to be a part of if you're Derek White. Maybe the Celtics aren't as good.
It is complete crap.
It is crap. But
that great drop from their coach. What's their coach? Darko. Guy's awesome. Absolutely loves the Celtics too.
But Derek White could have been a Raptor and could have been part of that poop show up there. Absolute crap. He's not. He's still a Boston Celtics, where he's beloved. He's going to face expectations.
Scotty Barnes is going to be all-star.
Scotty Barnes is going to be an all-star, apparently. We'll see.
Love that.
And
guy.
Your guy, Brad Stevens, he had a week. And I wonder if he knows, because people love to use even his memes. You know, he has become just this meme guy. They got that one where he does like the little finger gesture or whatever when he was coaching on the sideline. People like, or just the crazy Brad look. He has surpassed Bill Belichick, who used to march out of Indy or Detroit, or used to drink the juice. Like, he has surpassed Bill Belichick as the local coach / GM meme of choice across the internet. So you're right, Brad Stevens. I don't want to say he's peaked in his job as general manager and popularity in the city of Boston, but he could very well have peaked in his job as general manager of the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, he has not reached Belichick, you know, let's party all the Belichick face level type of memery. But that smirk that he has that's out there that gets reused a lot in the "And Brad We Trust" posts on social. Yeah, that's kind of, I think that's the way that most people, by and large, it's not Celtics Nation, just Celtics fans at large.
Celtic
really
pride. About. They're like lions.
You know what, actually? Not bad.
Thank you.
It's a complete crap.
I got the F series. I got the Celtic pride. Fitzy signing off on my lame humor early in the show. We're going to have a day on a Friday here at Fenway Park. I feel it coming together, baby. We are having a big Friday
show. You're already in your pocket, dude. Now, if you could only stand still for 30 seconds, you'd be fine.
I do have a strange amount of energy, and a little kid who couldn't have been more than 1 year old, hasn't been walking for merely months, came up to the studio here on Lansdowne and put his face right up against the glass to the point where his nostrils were leaving the little, like, it moisture was, like, marks.
The flares.
Yep. And I got right in his face dancing around like a clown, and he loved it a little bit. I don't know why I have so much energy, but it's probably the weather. I told you guys, when the weather is nice, you have to have like 20% more energy. So I am ready to go.
You don't have to have it, Andy. You're like, as sons of Krypton, we understand the sun is our source of energy. It's just a natural effect. You're like sun drunk right now. It's a beautiful thing.
I think I am sun drunk. Plus, we're leading into a weekend. It's been a great week. Ted Johnson will be here at 3:00. We got the 3-point stance. We got Jordan. We got the expanded odds and ends late in the show, which is absolutely loaded. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but random little audio clips and stories across sports have been popping up all week long for supposedly that slow period in the sports world where it's like, oh, you just got baseball and not much else.
There's no games, but that's been replaced by all of the news.
Right. All the news. And thankfully, a lot of it comes from social media. Unfortunately, some of it comes from like courtrooms and police blotters. But there's a lot going on in the sports world. But we started off talking about Brad Stevens, Fitzy's choice for who won the week. So obviously we're talking about successful general managers in the city of Boston. So up next on WEEI Afternoons, we need to talk about Craig Breslow, who has some followers, some supporters out there, but also needs to face the music.
He does?
He does. I'm sure he does.
Are any of them actual human beings?
He brought Crochet to town.
Okay.
He brought Chapman to town.
Okay.
And I'll get to you on some other stuff that he did well to build the Red Sox. Try to get out of their five-game losing streak. Craig Breslow spoke with the Boston Globe And I think he was somewhat honest, just like he was yesterday on the Greg Hill show. I think he was somewhat honest in his assessment of the job he's done over the last year plus, but also the limitations with what he has done and what he needs to do better. Craig Breslow, looking in the mirror and seeing what he sees. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, live from Fenway Park, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time.
That is Red Sox President of Baseball Operations. Is that his title?
Chief Baseball Officer.
Baseball I hate these.
Only one of the big leagues to have that title.
What the hell is a CBO? Just be
Can we just go back to the GM days?
Thank you. Two letters.
Simple role, GM. You knew the GM ran the team, and then we had to get in. The Red Sox have like seven GMs, right, below Breslow?
Yes.
Like,
who is currently the general manager of the Boston Red Sox, Andy?
Brian O'Halloran.
Correct. How about that, emergency?
Wow. Wow. Having a day. Where was that in Stiz with Quiz?
Wow. Yeah, I might have won. If it hadn't been a bag job for Ted Johnson with him getting all the movies that he likes and has
Chief
seen.
Chief Baseball Officer, get it right, Dweeb.
Oh, we didn't
wow! You just got name shamed by Breslow Bot. Wow.
Wow. So the Boston Globe. Had a story from Alex Speer, one of these long features that they are wont to do. June 26th, it is dated. And
I feel like Speer speaks Breslow, just a side note.
Oh, definitely. Speer definitely is a modern, and this is not a shot at him, because I say this about Dan Ball, who's one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. Like, he is in that modern world of analytics and geekdom and nerddom and all those things. Doesn't mean I don't like you.
Nobody pays a compliment quite like you.
I was going to say, really, there's nothing like being handed a bucket of popcorn with one hand and a right cross to the chops with the other.
Andy Hart style, Fitzy. Like,
the truth is never mean, and Alex Speer is a modern quantitative analyst for the Boston Red Sox and the Boston Globe. Headline, quote, I need to own things that I could have done better. End quote. 20 months into his tenure, Craig Breslow takes stock of the Red Sox front office culture, which I think is an interesting word on the end of that headline, Fitzy. Like, not just the front office and what we're doing, but the fabric, the culture. We've heard that word with Mike Vrabel. We heard it with Gerard Mayo. We heard it with, like, that's a new thing. It's not just the jobs we have and the jobs we are doing. Because usually when we talk about a front office, we're talking about, you know, nuts and bolts, right, Fitzy? Like, who did you acquire? What kind of team did you build, and what did that talent do on the field? But this is about the culture. This is, you know, obviously the references to that Zoom call where somebody had the audacity to say, Breslow, you stiff, and was fired. Probably should save that comment until the Zoom signed off, or at least Breslow signed off.
Yeah, when you're tchotchkes or flingers having drinks, that's when you say that about your boss.
Yes, yes. This has to do with the fact that a lot of people believe Breslow is sort of insulated, and even if they have 280 some odd people in the baseball operations department, there's really like five guys that he talks to when he's having meetings that people aren't necessarily comfortable coming into his office. And he acknowledges that in here. He says, I can't just sit in my office, and I'm paraphrasing, I can't just sit in my office and be like, hey, I wonder why no one comes in and talks to me. He needs to realize there's probably a reason they're not talking to you. Somehow you need to offer a bridge, an olive branch. But this also gets into, Fitzy, this story, that audit that was done that I believe the company is Sportsology that they hired to audit, which I hate. I'll just be honest. I hate that whole outside, like, I hired you, Craig Breslow. You audit the damn operation. That's why I'm paying you a lot of money.
Hiring the Bobs to come in and audit the department, the Dobe Department of Baseball Efficiency? Get out of here with that.
No, you know what this reminds me of? And it's a poor reference at this time in the calendar. But in Elf, when they need a new book, and the two lead writers are like, hey, why don't we hire that guy? He writes really good kids' books. And they're like, genius. It's like, no. You're the writers for a book company. If you can't write books, I need to get good new writers for the book company. But Craig Breslow hired this whole Sportsology audit, and they got rid of about 10% of the front office. It doesn't sound like...
About 50 people, I think.
Yeah,
total.
Hold on. That's a lot. Like, first of all, what kind of Fenway fat are they carrying over there at the sports group? The fact that That's a lot of freaking people.
They were bloated. They were definitely bloated. And well, I think some of that
scouting department be bigger than that, Andy? Sorry to interrupt, but shouldn't you have people on the road looking for the next talent, not a bunch of quants, as you like to call them, sitting there going, all right, here.
Road. Are you telling me you need to see a baseball player to know whether he's good? I just look at a computer screen and a bunch of numbers, and they tell me whether he's good or not. I don't
make
actually
baseball profitable again.
But they were bloated. There was even a reference. I didn't know this, that some of the place was so bloated they couldn't all fit in the same building. There was like a bullpen, they called it, like an offshoot office where some of the overflow workers were. So there was obviously a disconnect there if you're not all in the same office.
So they put the baseball guys in one office and the nerds in the other?
Probably.
What could go? Where did Craig Breslow sit then?
He's in the nerds office.
Oh,
in his hot office. Am I supposed to believe this? That the general manager of the Boston Red Sox can't turn the heat down in his office. He doesn't have AC. Am I really supposed to believe that? It makes for a nice tale to lead a story in the Boston Globe, a nice feature story. Are you telling me Craig Breslow does not have air conditioning?
I mean, it's believable. His server could overheat very easily in that
That's
room.
A very good point. The server farm does use up a lot of electricity, Dan, and it does get pretty damn hot in there. I want to go back to what you said earlier about his inapproachability and why people don't like or can't access him, Andy, and relate to him one-on-one on a human level. I don't think anybody's looking for, you know, Sterling Cooper, Draper, Price, where you can just waltz into your boss's office and bury a 130, you know, 4-ounce glass of scotch and make a couple of crude remarks about the secretary pool and how things are going in New York City and you know, on Madison Avenue. We're not looking for that level of conviviality and conversation. But he needs to sort of like he needs to like point the finger backwards or look in the mirror. He needs to be introspective about this and ask himself, or maybe hire a department of personality analysis and have someone come in and say, Craig, this is something about you that makes you inaccessible to people. There's a reason why people have a hard time communicating with you because, well, you just don't seem real. Like everything seems quantitative with you. We need a human touch, and that's carrying over to your baseball team as well, which is managed by numbers. And now you got a manager on the field who manages by feel. So when the numbers go awry, he finds himself getting tossed from games half the time.
So Craig Breslow, clearly, I would say we're painting a picture that his personality isn't outgoing. I don't like people. I don't like to interact with people. I don't like to meet new people. That's fine.
You're not for everyone. Did you see your shirt yesterday?
I am not for everyone, but I also think you need to know the role you're in and figure out how to make it work. I would also say he just needs to win because Bill Belichick wasn't a people person. People didn't want to necessarily hang out with Bill Belichick. They didn't want to like stop by his office to sit down and be like, hey coach, how many times do you think assistants did that? Walked into Bill's office, just sat down to chat with Bill Belichick.
I imagine if it did happen, it didn't last very long.
I'm going to say never.
Okay.
I'm going to say, and maybe once, because the first person did it and all the other assistants saw how it went and said, that's a mistake I won't be making, just showing up unasked at Bill Belichick's office.
And so, Andy, the Patriots were famously filled with people that were probably inapproachable. I mean, I've had some very pleasant conversations with Ernie Adams, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's the first person that I would, you know, do a podcast with or have lead a symposium.
And you know who people love? Bill Belichick and Ernie Adams. You know why? They won.
They won.
Success. And that is the lesson I would put here first and foremost to Craig Breslow, who didn't care for he calls himself a systems builder. What the holy F does that mean? And don't say it. You might think it. You may believe it. And it may be a good thing in your mind. Don't say it.
Around already so much in the studio, I'd tell you to take a lap just for saying that. Holy criminy.
Systems builder. Get the hell out of here with that crap.
It's supposed to be a nation builder, not a system builder.
The lesson. Oh, how about a bridge builder? How about you bridge, build bridges and connect people? Right. Knock down silos. Even that sounded better. Even have a North Star if you freaking want. But don't tell me you're a systems builder. Because you know what system you need to build? A team of human beings. This is not a system. This is a team of human beings. And that's the disconnect that I think he has to struggle with most, the alignment. I think Alex Cora is a people person, and I think Craig Breslow is a systems builder. And I think those two butt heads sometimes. But my biggest issue, Fitzy, with this story, there was a quote from Craig Breslow that I thought was really interesting on multiple levels. You know how we sometimes play audio and stop and start? I'm going to do that with a red quote right here because I want to like analyze it word for word, Fitzy. So, Craig Breslow says, I have this job because ownership decided that some change was necessary. There's some truth to that, Fitzy. You also have this job because no one else wanted it. Because like 752 people said no. Men, women, children,
but yeah,
whatever. Okay. Close enough. Yeah. You get it. Yeah. It's exaggeration. It's radio. Sure. It's Friday. I got a lot of energy for some reason. Then the second part of it, and I think that the change goes beyond just me. If we're going to continue to do things the way we had always done them, then I think we're just signing up to be a roughly 500 team. That's not good enough. Wait a minute. Always done them.
Pause.
Always done them for how long?
A sub 500 team right now.
Well, you're a sub 500 team right now, but how long are we looking back? Because I look back at the totality of it, which was a lot of these people you canned because Sportsology told you to can them had been here for, as LeBron might put it, not one, not two, not three, but four World Series championships in the last 20 plus years.
How long's your manager been here?
Trick question?
I don't Seven.
Know. Eight?
For a while.
Okay.
For right. longer than well, Craig Breslow.
He took a mercy year off, and that's when Uncle Ron came in.
Yeah, that didn't go well for him. But so he is looking at the big picture as the negatives of the last 4 or 5 years. He's not looking at those people that were in that building, those 300 some odd people who had built something that had never been seen by living human beings in the city of Boston. World Series teams, elite teams, rosters that, unlike this one, were littered top to bottom with talent. Fitzy, you know I love to say it. Little League Billy Miller won a batting title as the nine hitter. The nine hitter won a batting title for the Boston Red Sox? They'd be lucky now if the two hitter is a major leaguer on any given night. And they had a nine hitter win. So this idea that goes,
I'd take Mark Bellhorn's ghost over David Hamilton 9 days out of the week.
So that quote really rankled me because he makes it sound like he took over some team that had gone 25 years without a playoff appearance, had never won
anything. Like the White Sox or this year's Rockies.
Yes. You took over a team that's been in down times over the last few years, but is still, in sort of comparisons purposes, a pretty recent champion. And also, I would just say, didn't they go to the ALCS 3 seasons ago? 3-plus seasons ago, whatever it would be?
3.5 years ago, yeah. And they were one bad strike call against Nate Eovaldi away from actually maybe almost even sneaking out of that series.
So yeah. he, I think, exaggerates the problem. And you know why I think he does that? Because that's old school. That was all old school. That's not his way. That's not his system that he wants to build. So he looks at this new one and like, I need to make it look bad so I can tear it down to the studs. This house was pretty structurally sound and actually looked pretty good before you started tearing it down.
That said, I also think that's...
Uh-oh, McQuant needs to stick up
boy. No, I think that's a commentary. I think that's a financial commentary more than anything else. That's we're spending too much money. We have too many people. We're not efficient or streamlined enough. And that's what they're bringing me in to do. They're bringing me in to cut money and cut payroll do things in a more cost-effective way while still bringing in wins.
When they were inefficient under Dombrowski, right?
Yes.
Because they inefficiently had to spend money on World Series rings and parades. That was a kick in the stones, Fitzy. When they had to spend that money over budget to give out rings and have parades with duck boats, that was a real pain in the ass.
Oh, man. All that extra money that they had to pay out when they got into baseball's second apron. Oh, wait, it doesn't exist.
Well, then what happens when you don't win? is kind of my post-2021 point.
You spend money and win. It's baseball. And that's how he actually turned it around. That's the thing that bothers me a little bit.
And then you draft Mac Jones, and you go to the playoffs, and you get your balls handed to you.
So in consecutive days, he's told us he's a systems builder, and his system sucks. Because his system, literally and figuratively, the minor league system, is producing baseball players who don't know how to play defense and who don't know how to run the bases. And you know what his solution this offseason was? $15 million a year to Aroldis Chapman, a gazillion dollars to Garrett Crochet, a gazillion dollars on an average annual basis to Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
Did we need Craig Breslow, the systems builder, to do that? Or could any of us have done that? Hey, John Henry, is it okay if I give Bregman 3 years, $120 million? Oh, it is?
Oh.
Cool.
Andy, like, can I also need a computer. Point out real quick, when we talk about, and really just to ride yes and on, what you were just saying. So there's these two baseball players that joined the team this year. We were all super excited to see it. Well, three really, but two most especially. One, that third one you wanted traded away, and that went over well with Sox fans earlier this week on the show. These two other players, Roman Anthony and Marcelo Mayer, I think their nicknames are. Definitely nailed the pronunciations. You know what Craig Breslow had to do with both of those guys? Nothing. That's right. The previous general manager slash chief baseball nerd drafted those guys. Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer are Heim Bloom draft picks. So yep. I'm really waiting for the Breslow, what would you say you do around here moment?
Craig Breslow. Boston Globe is looking at him, looking at himself in the mirror, talking about his systems and his turnover and all that. He's talking about a bad minor league system. A lot of people around here are criticizing Alex Cora, blaming him for the success of the Boston Red Sox. What do you think about Craig Breslow and the job he's done in a little under 2 years running the Boston Red Sox? I'm not a big fan because I think he proclaims to be one thing, and the success he has found has actually been in the old school world of just spend money on good players and it helps your baseball team. 617-779-7937 will take your reactions to Craig Breslow and the job he is doing. But up next, we also need to talk about the Rafi Devers trade.
He hit a home run. Oh, my God, that's awesome.
And the Giants are no longer a playoff team. He ruined two teams with one trade. He ruined the Red Sox and the Giants with his arrival. But Jarren Duran has been next in the talking of trade rumors and also was asked about the Rafi Devers trade. He joined the Section 10 podcast. We'll talk about that and Kyle Harrison's debut for the Woo Sox, although it was not all woo-worthy. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Hit high and deep to center field. Meyer's back! Out of here! Number 17 for Rafi Devers. Number 2 in a Giants uniform. That's what they needed.
That was the call of Rafi Devers' meaningless home run for the Giants, who lost again yesterday with their new big bopper in the lineup. 3-6
Oh, you don't say!
Trade.
I thought they were winning every game, Andy.
No, they weren't, and they were a playoff team when he arrived, and to the caller who didn't have the stones to come on the air but wanted to call me out, I mean, maybe ESPN is wrong, but when I go to the ESPN standings, it says San Francisco Giants are a half game out of the wild card. So that, the way I read it, unless I'm misreading this, says they're out of the playoffs. He joined a team that was in the playoffs, is now out of the playoffs. So Rafi Devers has made two teams worse. He left the Red Sox, and they've lost five in a row. Dan Ball, yep. You're standing up, and you're looking at your computer screen. Do you want to counter something?
No.
Okay. So he made the Red Sox worse by leaving.
Well said. Is this guy on a heater or what today?
You could have at least said no.
Are you on coke right now?
I don't know. I said I'm not on anything. I'm on the high of life at
it's
Fenway
Park. It's
good
to know I physically cannot move without drawing your attention.
Well, you did draw my attention.
Ah, yeah! What if a bear did cocaine?
Like that movie when the bear did the cocaine, right? I've never seen it.
Literally called Cocaine Bear.
We didn't have the score to that film yesterday. I'm not sure if there was a famous soundtrack or not to that.
That was going to be the bonus round.
Oh, I would have gotten that one. No chance. But yeah, Rafi Devers, the Red Sox have been losing since he left, basically, and the Giants have been losing since he arrived. Those are just facts. I'm not even tying it together. I don't think the Red Sox are losing because he left, honestly. I don't think Walker Buehler melts down in the first inning because Rafi Devers left. The the base running with Jarren Duran. Like,
he's
no,
all
these things.
Fenway Fields.
All these errors and bad base running and bad pitching were happening with Rafi Devers on the roster that can happen with or without him. But speaking of Rafi Devers on the roster, Jarren Duran, who I thought someone had told me was in like a feud with Carrabas and Carrabas hated him or like they were...
Feud is a bit strong, but they were actively discussing trade rumors that had been put out there and that Will Fleming and Lou Maloney were a part of those discussions.
Okay, aye. And well... it didn't stop Jarren Duran from going on the Section 10 podcast where he was asked about the Rafi Devers trade and sort of the reaction to it within the clubhouse.
Like people, I feel like people wanted us to dwell on it, but it's like, what is that going to do? It's not going to bring them back. Like people were like, oh, maybe they didn't like Rafi or they didn't care or stuff like that. I'm like, no, but like what's crying about it going to do? It's not going to bring him back. Like he's gone. He's on the Giants now. He's doing his thing over there. So, like, we have to do our thing over here. So, when people are like, oh, like, honestly, like, to the fans, like, if you're mad about it, like, you guys can be mad about it because you don't have to go and perform on the field the next day. Like, we don't have that luxury.
That's correct. That's a very mature take right there, Andy.
It is, but you can be mad and perform, right? Those two don't have to be mutually exclusive.
Some would
right?
say
like, you can...
some perform better when they're mad.
Right, like me. I get angry all the time. It's part of my charm. But you can be angry charm. And go to bat. And has no major league player ever been angry and gone to bat and gone like, I don't know, 3-for-4 with a double and a home run or like
Pedro Serrano, blank you, Joe Boo. I do it myself.
Right. I think a lot of people are actually can perform when angry, like when motivated. I mean, I think there's coaches that push those buttons. Certainly, right. You think of it maybe more in other sports than baseball, but
it's called hate sex. It's fine.
Yes. Roll the hips, as they say when you teach in linebacker play. Roll the hips, just like
great minds think alike. There you go.
But, you know, Jaren Duran is a guy that he hasn't had a great season. And
no, by no stretch. No, not even close.
But I also didn't even once think, remember that time he slid past the bag and was out and then got thrown out? Mm-hmm. That was because Devers got traded. Or remember that time where he froze like a little leaguer with a ball hit right at him and then tried to go to third and got thrown out by a mile? Yeah, that was because Devers got traded. No, like he hasn't performed well. He's regressed for the entirety of the season.
That's why Whitlock gave up 4 runs in that second inning of the appearance earlier this week.
Right, right. Your guy Whitlock, your guy mm-hmm. Bueller, they're just off the rails because Devers was traded. And then the other thing I bring into this, didn't Alex Cora tell us last week? Well, I told him not to talk about it. Like, so the biggest reason why it seems like they've moved on quickly is because the manager said, he pulled a Belichick. We're not going to benefit from you guys going out there and sharing your feelings about Rafi Devers or what it meant to the team or means to the team. We got a job to do. Let's do the job. Shut your mouth and do your job. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest reason is they still respect their manager, and their manager basically asked them not to talk about it. Now, I don't know if Jaren Duran went against those wishes or if this was just, you know, a comfortable, simple answer and we move on here. But don't you think that was the biggest reason that Cora said don't talk about it?
Yeah, it is. Like I said, it's the mature thing to do. It's a very Belichickian thing to do. It's just why stir up a hornet's nest when the main reason why you moved on from this very talented hitter is because he was creating a hornet's nest in your dugout and in your locker room.
Right. He was in sight and in mind and a bit of a problem. Now he's out of sight. Let's put him out of mind and move on as the Joe Judge would say it. This is all we got. No one else is coming. So let's go play some baseball games, try to win. They did that successfully for a short stint, and then, well, it went south. So, but tonight, Fenway Park, Blue Jays in town, Brian Baio on the mound. He's given you competitive starts the last 4 times out there. So the Red Sox looking to turn things around, and I can't say it enough, a beautiful day at Fenway Park. If you don't have tickets and you're in the area, grab some, get your ass in a seat at Fenway, because you're going to have a beautiful night to watch baseball. I make no promises about the game, but the night I can promise. Up next on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Ted Johnson. It's time for the three-point stance. And it's time for me to make an observation about the NBA in my three-point stance, because I think they're missing opportunities left and right with what they're doing these days in the NBA. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.